Take your Bible, would you please, and find Ephesians chapter 5. And I want to talk to you a little bit in this session on being the one for her. Isn't that your desire? Don't you want to be the man for your wife and the man that she deserves and be the man that she ought to be? And it's a privilege to be the one for her. Marriage is a wonderful thing. There's just no doubt about it. And if you had to sum up what we do as men, it could be summed up in one word. And that really is the word love. God called me and you to love our spouses. You believe that, don't you? It's God's calling in your life. If you summed up one word, your responsibility for your spouse, be summed up in one word, that's love. And he says it in our text in just a simple way. The text really starts in verse 25. He's talking, Paul to the church at Ephesus. Apparently they had some issues regarding marriage in the church. And he says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. And notice that because Christ loves the church, he's interested in the church, and he just invests in the church and works on the church and improves the church and helps the church. He says in verse 26 that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. And I've always thought verse 29 was kind of a funny verse. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth it and cherisheth it even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, his flesh, his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. He tells us about the great mystery in verse 32 that he's speaking concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, in verse 33, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. You know, marriage is an amazing thing, isn't it? It's an incredible thing. And some of you guys in the room know my staff that I've had done through the years. One of the things I've done for going on 25 years now is I've traveled with other guys to help them get started in evangelism. Brent Gellis, and evangelist David Korn, evangelist Adrian Burden, evangelist Mike Cassell. And every one of these guys have come on my team single. And all of them are married now, or are at least engaged and preparing to be married. And I've always gotten a kick out of what people will tell my single fellow evangelists. They're young guys, they're growing, they're learning. And you probably have heard some of the jokes that we men will tell in our humor. And one guy said to my friend evangelist Mike Cassell, he said, son, do you know about the three ships of marriage? Brother Self said, I don't think so. And he said, well, really, that's pretty easy. Starts out with friendship, and then there's courtship, and then there's battleship. And I thought, that's a terrible thing to tell a single guy, isn't it? If you want a guy to be married, we're praying he'll get married, and he's telling him that marriage is a bad thing. And I think he was just joking. One other guy said, no, really, you can describe marriage in the three rings. There's the engagement ring, there's the wedding ring, and then there is the suffer ring. How many of y'all heard that one? Have you heard that one? The fact is we can joke about it, and sometimes we men do. Sometimes we men chuckle about marriage, and I've heard guys talk about, the old woman I married, and the old lady, going home to the old lady. But you and I are men of God. And we know Jesus, and we ought to be different than that. The fact of the matter is, we ought to celebrate marriage. How many of you have sons? Do you have sons? Your sons ought to know from you that marriage is amazing. And you got to convince your son of that. All of your sons ought to want to have a marriage like yours. And they ought to talk about that. They ought to tell their friends. The young man who travels with me now really was a blessing to me, and though a little bit humbling, I suppose. He wrote me an email a year ago. And my staff evangelist at the time was moving out into international evangelism. And so I didn't have anybody to travel with us. And so we prayed about it. My son Matthew and my son Jake, they traveled and did children's meetings and our revivals and things. But I wanted to hire another guy. And I got an email from a young man. Never laid eyes on him before in my life. He's from San Diego, California. His mom's Filipino. His dad's Texan. And mom and dad divorced when he was 3. He comes from a messed up family. He's only been saved since he was 18. He got saved after he graduated from high school. And he wrote me a letter and said, I want to be an evangelist. And someone told me that if I ask you, might let me travel with you. And so I said to him, all right, why do you want to travel with me? And he wrote me back, and he said, well, first of all, because you're an evangelist, and I want to learn from an evangelist. And he said, secondly, I know your son. And he said, your son, always he's on, my dad and my mom, my dad and my mom. My dad and my mom, they'll embarrass you. My dad and my mom, they'll kiss in the kitchen, and they'll kiss in the car, and they'll embarrass you. And he went on and on about, he said, your son's on, mom and dad, mom and dad, mom and dad. And he said, I never, ever had a mom and dad like that. Dad left when I was 3. Mom went to work when I was 4, and she had locked the door. And I babysat myself from the time I was 4. And I don't know what a family looks like, but he said, you know what? I'd like to travel with you because you're an evangelist. And he said, quite frankly, I want to travel with you because I just would like to know what it's like to have a Christian family around. You know, I just want to tell you, your children need to see that in you. Daddy, it's more than just having a marriage. God's called you to model marriage for your family. It's important whether or not you're the one for her. It's important. Your son needs to know. Your daughter needs to know. You know, your daughter needs to know how what a husband ought to be like because she's seen it in you. And she ought to be looking at a man going, is he like Daddy? Because I want to marry somebody as good as Dad, somebody as sweet as Dad, somebody as loving as Dad, somebody as wonderful as Dad. Your granddaughters and grandsons, maybe your children are a mess, but they ought to be able to get around you and be in love. They ought to know, man, there's what a marriage looks like, and I want to have a marriage like Grandpa and Grandma or like Mom and Dad. And here's where it all starts, men. It starts with me and you determining to be the one for her. Your wife needs you to be the man. To be the one for her. It's in your notes if you want to pull out your paper. I got notes in there somewhere, and it's on page 7. The notes for this session are on page 7. We only have about 30 minutes here together or so, and we'll be done tonight and call it an evening. But the question I want to ask tonight is, how in the world does a husband love his wife? How in the world does a husband love his wife? And I'm going to throw 6 answers at you in the time that I have, and here's the first one. A husband, he's the one for her. He loves her by being aware of her and her needs. Now, that's a simple thing to say, isn't it? But it's a huge thing to say. How many of you are aware of the fact that your wife is not a man? Are you aware of that? Some of you didn't vote on that. So just to make sure, how many of you are aware of the fact that your wife is not a man? Now, men are different than women. Is it not weird that we live in a world that's trying to figure that out? And, well, you know, men and women aren't different. There's no difference in this genders. There's just, we're all the same. There's no difference. I'm saying baloney. Baloney, that's just not true. We're different in so many ways, it's startling. We're different in the way we talk. We're different in the way we show emotions. We certainly are different in the way we look, and praise God for that. We're just different. We do talk differently, don't we? My wife talks in fine print. Is yours that way? I talk in headlines. I can have a 30-minute phone conversation with my mama, and I hang up, and my wife will say, what'd she say? I can answer that in one word, basically. She said, they're fine. My wife can have a 5-minute conversation with her mom, and I can say, what'd she say? Take her 35 minutes to tell me. Is your wife that way? We're different. But God's called you to be aware of her and her needs. She's different than you are. She needs care. She needs tenderness. She needs love. Every wife is different. Your wife's not my wife. My wife's not your wife. Your mom is not your wife. Your wife's not your mom. Every man's wife is unique, designed by an almighty holy God. And all of us are called of God to be students of our wives and learn how to be the one for her. Maybe she's insecure. And God's called you to help her with her insecurity. That's her need. I love that passage, how Solomon was aware of her insecurity. I'm black. I'm scared to go down there because they're going to make fun of me. And he just says, I want you to know, I'm fine with your cheeks the way they are. You're beautiful to me. Like mighty fine jewelry. It's amazing how he was aware of that. He was aware of her. I don't know how he knew that she was insecure about the fact that she was tanned so deeply. But he did. And you'll find all through the Song of Solomon, if you read the whole book, that he's always building her up about that. He's letting her know, I know you weren't raised down here at the palace with all these other palace girls, but I want you to know I didn't marry a palace girl. I married you. And I married you because you're so beautiful. And I like you the way I like your tan. And I like the fact that you're a vineyard girl, because I like vineyards. And I'll go out there with you in the vineyard. We'll do some work in the vineyard. And he just sees right where she was. He was aware of her needs. And how many of you are aware of the fact that our wives change, their needs change continually? Are you aware of that? When you first get married, she's a newlywed, and you that got married younger, the needs you have when you're younger change. Because eventually in your marriage, all things being equal, something happens called pregnancy. And that's a whole different ballgame, isn't it? And all of a sudden, she turns into a person you never met before. And you're like, what in the world? Well, God designed her that way. My father-in-law helped me with that. My father-in-law, when my wife was expecting, my father-in-law said to me one day, he said, look at her, look at her. And, you know, she was great with child. And my wife's going around going, honey, I feel so big. I feel like a whale. And she's, you know, my wife and my dad-in-law said, oh, my word, look at her. And he pointed at his daughter, my wife, and he said, I don't think I've ever seen her more beautiful than she is right now. Look at her. She's radiating mommyhood. Oh, my goodness. And he said, son, look at her. Her face is flushed because she's going to be a mommy. Oh, and he said, son, I'm going to tell you, when my wife was pregnant, she is more beautiful than I'd ever seen her before. I love this time. And I thought, well, my goodness, I need to pick it up. I learned from him. She had a need. She needed to be built, and he knew that. And rather than just come and say, hey, so let me tell you what you need to do right now, he came along and modeled it. Next thing you know, I was smart enough to pick up on it, and I started saying to my wife, oh, my goodness. My Greek professor in Bible college came to our class one day, and he said, guys, will you pray for me? I think I might have made a mistake this morning. His wife was 8 months pregnant, and you know, it was just very obvious. She was pregnant, just ready to have that baby any time. And he said, this morning I was joking with my wife, and I said, honey, are you sure you're pregnant, or are you just putting on a big front? And he said, guys, you got to pray for me, because I think I'm in trouble. And we're all like, we all did what y'all did. We were like, you know, and I learned from him not to do that. That's not a wise thing to say, but to build her. And then our wives change. They go through menopause. Y'all know about that time alive? They go through menopause. And some guys are brutal to their wives. Can you believe my wife has gained weight? Have you looked in a mirror lately? I mean, if she was hard on some of you guys about that as you are, you'd be in sad shape, because some of you guys are twice the man she married. Some of you guys are three times the man she married. We all are. I think I weighed 128 when I got married. I had a 28 waist when I got married. That's ridiculous. I was so skinny, turned sideways and stuck my tongue out. It looked like a zipper. I had to run around a shower to get wet. I only had one stripe in my pajamas. I'm telling you, I was a skinny dude. But you know something? I had to be aware of my wife. When she went through menopause, and she's kind of in that stage of her life right now, it's a different time. She doesn't feel good, and one minute she's burned. I am burning up, and we're freezing. She'll turn the air conditioner down, and we're all wearing hoodies and sweatshirts, and she's like fanning herself. Oh my goodness, it's hot in here! And the next few minutes, she's like, oh my goodness, it's cold in here. Turns the heat up, and my kids, my sons, are like, what is wrong with mom? And I said, sons, it's normal. Someday you'll be married, and you get to do this. And dad, it's cold in here. I said, put a sweatshirt on. She's hot, and we're for her. Some guy, oh my word, she wants to turn the air conditioner down. Well, sir, work a little harder and turn the air conditioner down. Be the one for her. See, if she's cold, turn the heat up. Be the one for her. You got to be aware of her and her needs. When the Bible says that we're to love our wives as Christ loved the church, what he's letting us know is we're to be like Jesus. And is he not aware of us? It's amazing how aware he is of us. You ever really blown it? Any men in the room blown it besides me? What does the Lord do to you? With that still small voice, he restores you, draws you back to himself. He's just so ready to forgive. It's incredible. It's almost like he's vibrating, ready to. I'm ready. I'm waiting on you. Come. I'll forgive you. I'll restore it. I'm ready. I'll forgive you. It's glorious. It'll put you on shouting ground if you get hold of it. Not to be that much about my wife. Every need she has, I'm to be aware of her, and I'm to be aware of her needs. That's how you be the one for her. How aware are you of your wife? A guy called me the other day, and he heard me preach earlier this year in a family conference, and he said, he texted me. He didn't call me. I'm sorry. He texted me and said, can I call you? My wife and I are just having a little issue or two, and I want to talk to somebody about it. So I scheduled a call time, and he called me, and he said, Davey said, we got two babies. We got a newborn and a two-year-old. And I'm in the Coast Guard, he said, and I'm gone a lot, and I go 72 hours at a time. I'm gone, and then I'm home for 20 or 48 hours, and then I'm 72 hours out, and I'm home 48 hours. And he said, when I come home now, he said, my wife's a different person. I come home, she's stressed, and she's on edge, and she's bothered, and she's irritated, and it's hurting our marriage. Things aren't well. I come home, and my wife's not herself. And I said, I know why your wife's not herself. Do you? And he said, apparently not. And I said, well, first of all, she has a newborn. You know anything about newborns? They never sleep. I read somewhere that women never say, I want to sleep like a baby. They say, I want to sleep like it's daddy. Because you ever been in a room with a newborn? They're up all hours of the night. My Joshua's my oldest son. Joshua was the newborn that insisted on nursing every 2 hours. Drove us crazy. We read all the books you could read on how to train the baby. Didn't work. And we had all these people that told us, well, you know, if you only did this and this and this. And I'm just telling you, we tried everything in the world. And I finally said to my wife, the only thing I know to do is to feed this baby every 2 hours. And God bless her, she did. But she made me get up and get him. He'd cry in the night. I'd get out of bed and go get him, bring him back. She'd nurse him, and then she'd say, he's done. I'd get up and change his diaper and put him back in bed. That's just a simple way of being aware of her needs. But my boys, I don't know exactly where I was going with that, but my boys don't fuss about stuff like that. Oh, my goodness, Daddy. Mom's always so cold. Stop it, son. That's my wife. If your mommy's cold, we're turning up the heat. If your mommy's hot, we're turning down the air. Because that's her need. How good at you are you at meeting her needs? And so I said to this guy, he said, I don't know what's wrong with my wife. And so she's got a newborn. And she's got a 2-year-old. Do you know what she does all day? She takes care of kids all day. When you're out there at sea, you don't work 24/7. You do sleep out there while you're coast guarding. She doesn't. Because I don't know any baby that sleeps all the way through the night. I guess it depends on your definition of night. If you're talking 4 hours, then maybe they do. But I said, sir, your wife's, I said, do this. When you come home next weekend, say to your wife, just come in the house and say, honey, I'm glad to be home, and I know you've been so busy while I've been gone, and I know you need a break. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to take care of the kids for a few hours. Why don't you go? You want to go shopping or go get a pedicure or a manicure? And I'll take care of the kids for the rest of the day. You go shop or you go. And he said, do you think it's that easy? I said, well, it probably is. Now, there may be something I don't know about, but try that. And if it doesn't work, call me back. And I never heard from him. So I called him. I said, oh, I'm dying to know. Did it work? And he said, it's amazing. You, Brother Young, are a man of God. No, not really. I just figured this out a long time ago because I got 5 of them. All you got to do as a man, if you're going to be the one for her, is be aware of her needs. If she's worn out with those children, you know what? Guys will say this to me. Guys will say, I just got to tell you, Brother Young, I am so tired. I want to give you some encouragement about that. God designed you to be tired. That's how he designed you. He designed us in the Garden of Eden to work. Men are designed to work. That's our calling. It's a good thing to work. One of the problems in this generation is we have young men who've never had to work in their life. It's killing us. It is absolutely killing us. A guy, there's just some things you can't learn apart from work. God designed us men to do work, to know work, to enjoy work. Some of you guys work long hours, and you come home and you're tired, and all you want to do is come in and veg. You want to come in and read the paper or watch the news or just sit in the recliner and take a nap. But what you ought to do is you ought to come home and be the one for her. You ought to pull up in that driveway, turn that car off, and you ought to be a man of God. And you ought to say, God, I'm so tired. I don't know if I can stand up straight or not. But I've got to go in that house right there because that woman in that house needs a man in her life, and that man is me. And I can't do it if you don't help me. Those kids in there need a daddy. And you may be as tired as I'll get out, but that's a good thing. walk through that house, having prayed about it, walk through the door of your house and step in and be on, because she needs you. Hey, baby, how was your day? What can I do to help you? There's times you just got to walk in and recognize, you know what? She's stressed. And instead of me getting offended about it, you believe that I've worked so hard today and I come in and she's all uptight? It might be that it's her time of the month. And you know, guys, there's something wrong with us that we ridicule that. Oh, my word. It's on her monthly cycle. You be careful about that, because God's the one who made her that way. And instead of turning it into a time to be all negative and belittling and ridiculing and joking, and I get there's things that are funny in life, and you know I love to laugh, but maybe your wife needs that to be a time of tenderness for you. Say, honey, I know you don't feel well, and I know this is a tough time. I know. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to take the kids out to dinner tonight just so you can put your feet up, and I'll bring you something home to eat. You get a bath and put your feet up and watch the Hallmark. See, if you'll take the kids while she's watching Hallmark, you don't have to. That's maybe the best piece of advice I've given in a long time. You take the kids while she watches Hallmark. You don't have to watch Hallmark. She won't even get onto you about it. She'll be so happy that she didn't have the kids there and you got the kids. She won't ask you to watch Hallmark. It's a delightful piece of advice. But see, the fact of the matter is, she needs you to care. I could park the rest of the night on this first point, because if you're going to be the one for her, you've got to be aware of her and you've got to be aware of her needs. That's true Christian love as a man. When's the last time you were aware of her needs and did something about it? My wife, in the business of our life, busy, busy life right now, and wedding planning this year, and on the road all the time, and revival services every night, and music practice every day, and homeschooling on the road, and meals with people at churches. And this has been maybe the busiest year of our life. And one of the things it realized one day was that my wife was frustrated that her nails never looked nice. And so I reworked our budget a little bit. I tweaked it. We got a kid in college, and I'm helping him get there. I'm helping him through college. And it's expensive. You know that. We're still paying on a house. You know life's expensive. But I tweaked our budget. And I said to my sweetheart, hey, honey, I budgeted it. You can go get your nails done. You can go get your nails done. I know you want to look nicely when we go into churches all over the country, and a lot of times you don't have the time, because time you get done with homeschool and we get the kids fed and get their clothes ironed and get dressed for the revival and practice the music we're going to sing that night and then get to the revival. I know that this is a frustration to you. And what if every other week I sent you out and you got your nails done? And I want to tell you, it's been one of the most amazing gifts I've given my wife. Is it worth the $35, $45, $50, depending on where we are, that I spend to get her nails done? I'm just telling you flat out right now, it's worth every dime of it. She comes back happy. She feels better because her nails look nice. And it's just a delightful thing to her. Now, I do have one problem. She took my little 10-year-old with her one day to get her toenails done, and Charity's decided she likes it. And so now Charity's like, Daddy, can I go? Daddy, can I go? Daddy, can I go? And that's really hard to say, no, you cannot. And so it's costing me more than I like. Y'all pray with me about that, would you? Because Charity, that's Daddy's girl. I have a hard time with this little 10-year-old baby girl of mine. But here's the whole deal. I'm just trying to be the one for her. Be aware of her. What does your wife need? Are you aware of her? Is she stressed? Then do something about it. I don't mean chew her out. Love her. Help her to handle that stress in her life. It might mean that God's called you to take the kids more than you do. Maybe you could help the kids with their homework while she gets a bath. My sons and I, Bethley makes the meals. And she makes the meals because she's a great cook. And when the meals are over, the boys and I got together and made a covenant. Now two are gone, so now it's just me and Jake. But our agreement is we'll always clean up the kitchen. And so when the meal's over, we talk. We always take as much. We don't get to be home a lot. When we're home, we just sit around the table and talk and laugh and joke and we just have a good time. But then the boys and I clean up the kitchen. And we don't do it drudgery. It's not like, oh my word, somebody's got to do the dishes. I say, how in the world can we make it fun doing dishes? So we look for ways. How can you make it fun doing dishes? We send mommy to get a bath so she doesn't know what we're doing in there. And sometimes we have water fight in the kitchen. We've had to mop the whole kitchen floor because we went at it. My one son discovered one day that you can take that little nozzle, that little spray nozzle on the edge of the sink, and he rubber banded it. Rubber banded. And I went in there and flipped the cold water on. That thing doused me with cold water. He was so happy about that, I made him mop the floor. And while he was mopping the floor, I sprayed him down. You're already mopping. Might as well make it worth it. You know what I mean? You can have fun serving the Lord with your family. Just to be aware of your wife. Does this make sense on this first one? I've only got 10 minutes here, but you got the rest of them in your notes. But let's talk about how in the world can I be the one for her? A husband loves his wife by his communication with her. I feel like I've heard that somewhere else tonight. Number three, a husband loves his wife by speaking her love language. Did you know that your wife has a love language? Something in her life that makes her feel loved. I've read that book on the five love languages, and I'd recommend it. It was a real help to me. And they say there's five of them. The author of the book, The Love Languages, said there's words of affirmation, and then there's quality time, there's receiving gifts, there's acts of service, and there's physical touch. And every one of your wives have a love language. It may be that the thing that makes her feel loved is when you build her up, or when you serve her, or when you buy her gifts, or when you hug her, touch her non-sexually. You know what I mean by that? Or when you spend quality time with her. Gentlemen, those are powerful things. What I discovered is that our wives probably are multilingual. Every one of your wives will probably have at least two of these, maybe three. And God called you as men to discern that. Because if you're walking in the Spirit, how many of you are aware of what they call spiritual gifts in the Bible? Are you aware of that? We all have spiritual gifts. We have God-given talents and gifts and abilities that the Holy Spirit uses in our life to help us serve the Lord. Now, I believe in the spiritual gifts. I just take them farther than some people do. I'll tell you what I mean by that. What I believe is that if you're walking in the Spirit and you're filled with the Spirit, that the Spirit of God will lead you often to use whatever gift you need at the time of your service. Like by gift, I'm probably, my spiritual gift is probably a combination of prophecy and mercy. A lot of people assume because I'm an evangelist that I have the gift of the prophet, but really that's my wife. My wife's the one that'll tell you like it is and straighten you out. I'm more gentle about it. I'm merciful. I'm mercy. I listen to people and I go, oh, and my wife is like, let me tell you right now what's wrong with you. You need to straighten up. My wife can counsel in 5 minutes and be done while it'll take me an hour to counsel. And she'll just give it to you. So let me say right now, I'll tell you what's wrong with you. You're just being a jerk. Or you're just being unthankful. If you get right with God and be thankful, you wouldn't have this problem. Now let's pray. That's my wife. And I'm like, oh, really? You know, I feel it. I'm more the pastoral. But you know what I found out? As I'm walking in the Spirit, there are times that my wife needs a gift. And I'll buy her flowers. There's times my wife needs my words of affirmation. And when I'm walking in the Spirit, I'm discerning that. Oh, she needs me to build her up today. There's times she needs service. There's times she needs me to take over cleaning the house because she's beyond her limit. I'm the man. And she's a woman. She's beyond her limit. So I'll take over and take care of what needs to be done. God's called us to be the one for our wife by speaking her love language. Isn't that simple? Are you walking in the Spirit, man? You don't have to be brilliant to figure this out, but you ought to say, do you ever have a moment of intensity with your wife? Do you ever get frustrated about something with your wife? Talk to me. Do you ever do that? So what do you do about it? Most of us men walk away and huff and puff and blow the house down. And there's a better way to handle that. Aren't you a man of God? Don't you have God in your life? Here's what you do. You walk away and you say, Lord, my wife's uptight, but I don't know what to do about it. Man, she's sharp-tongued. God, I think she got up on the wrong side of the bed. I don't know how to help about it. Would you show me how to help her? And I will tell you that as I have prayed, God has helped me to know how to answer each of the issues of our marriage. It's not that I'm smarter than you are, but I'm telling you there's somebody in my life who is smarter than you are. The Holy Spirit of God is smarter than I am. And he loves my wife and knows her. And if I say, God, you said in your word, if I lack wisdom and I ask, that you'll give it liberally. You know, God gives liberally, don't you? He's a liberal when it comes to giving. When I say, God, I don't have wisdom, but I need wisdom because I want to be the husband for my wife that I ought to be. And she's a little uptight. She's a little bothered. And she's on edge. She's frustrated. I don't know what to do. And the Spirit of God very, very simply will prompt my heart with what to do. Maybe she needs words of affirmation. I may need to text her and say, well, for instance, she's been with her mom and she's been really frustrated about it. I'm doing the homeschool and she feels badly that she's not on the road and mom is demanding and she's there and I'm here in revivals and it's been a tough time. And I knew she was feeling some frustration about that. And I sat down last week and prayed about it. Lord, what could I do to encourage my wife today? And the Spirit of God prompted me to write her. And I wrote her and I told her, sweetheart, I know you'd rather be here. And I know this is a tough time right now. And I know that we wouldn't want it this way with you in Ohio and me on the road preaching revivals. But I wanted to tell you that me and the kids are okay. I'm okay. We're having great revivals. Charity's doing well. She's passing all of her quizzes. I'm not the teacher you are, but I'm trying. She's learning. Jake's doing fine. Kids are loving the Lord. They sang last night with the choir. Jacob played his guitar last night in church. And honey, I just want you to know that I'm so proud of you that you go take care of your mom right now. Your mom needs you. And I know you'd rather be here. I'm so proud of you for being there. And gentlemen, just that one little note, it just took a little extra time on my part. It encouraged her and strengthened her and changed everything. My wife, who was frustrated and feeling that she was torn between, you know, should I hire somebody to take care of mom? What should I do? I said, no, honey, your mama needs you. Dad's in heaven and mom's alone. And you're okay. We're fine. And we'll get back together. This will pass. This is a season. It'll pass. And if we have to, and when we're done with the revivals in November, we'll make a beeline and I'll move to Ohio. I'll just move in with your mom with you till I get back on the road in January. We'll do whatever we have to do, honey. But I'm okay, and you're okay, and I'm proud of you, and I love you. Guys, I'm just telling you, I spoke her love language, and she was good. All was so well. It's not that I knew to do that, but I prayed about it. I did. I prayed about it. God, Bethley's not feeling well today. What could I do? And the Spirit of God will prompt me to get her flowers. It doesn't cost much to get flowers. You can walk through Walmart and pick up a bouquet of flowers for $4.99. I saw a dozen roses at Walmart yesterday for $10, $9.99 plus tax. $10. Say, well, I don't have that kind of money. Swing by the cemetery. They're not using them. Just don't tell her you did. I'm being silly there, but the fact is, if you want to, you could. You could find a way to get her flowers. You could do it. You could find a way. If it's springtime, pick her some. It's some wildflowers from the side of a road that says, I didn't have the money, but I wanted you to have some flowers. I'm just telling you, you're meeting her need. God's called all of us to be that kind of man. This is as simple as the day is long. But you say, God, I don't know how to help her. When you get frustrated at your wife and she's irritated at you, God, I'm getting uptight and I'm so bothered, I don't know what to say. Help me, Lord. And the Lord may prompt you to simmer down. And like my go-to method. My wife will tell me, honey, this, da-da-da-da-da-da, the kids did this in the house, da-da-da-da-da-da. And I'm like, I tell you what, if you'll do these three things, it'll solve your problem. Now she's mad at me and the house. And I can say, Lord, I don't know what do I say here? What do I say here? And sometimes the Holy Spirit will prompt me. All I need to say is, really, honey? Well, I'm really sorry that that's tough right now. And I care about you. And I'm praying for you. Because everything in me wants to fix this problem. I'm going to take care of this problem. She doesn't want me to fix it. She wants me to feel it. And God didn't make me to feel it. The only feeling I have is get mad. Are y'all that way? I get tight. Oh, my goodness. But I've asked the Holy Spirit to help me. And when I ask the Holy Spirit to help me, I realize that I can feel it. My wife and I went on a date some months ago. I'm driving. And it had been a great day. I'd gotten a ton done that day. She had gotten a ton done today. We got this whole evening to ourselves, had a restaurant we're going to. We're going to go for a walk on the pier in Pensacola. It's going to be a beautiful night. And a warm night, but not too warm. It was a beautiful evening. We're going on a date. So we get in the car. We're backing out of the driveway. And I said, so, how was your day? 20 minutes. Oh, my word, she said. Your kids. Oh, my word. Da-da-da. Oh, my word, homeschooling. And I'm driving. And I'm getting tense. And I'm like, okay, boy, this is a nice date. I'm like, I'm going to kill these kids in the name of Jesus. And I'm like, oh my goodness, 20 minutes, she just unloads. And then my wife said this. My wife goes, oh. She sits back. She goes, thank you. Thank you for being such a good husband and listening to me. I feel so much better. And I was like, not me. Because now I'm feeling all uptight. But I had to stop and pray. All right, Lord. She needed to share with me what was in her heart. Now she shared it with me, and she's well. I got to, remember what our Savior did? Isaiah 53, the Bible says he bore our sorrows. He bore our griefs and carried our sorrows, our feelings. I get to be that for my wife. Those tensions, those emotions, she pours them out, I get to carry them. Just like Jesus. Who bore my sorrows and carried my griefs and suffered my... He was... The Bible. I read it this week in my devotions. I have a high priest that can be touched with the feelings of my infirmities. My wife takes her infirmities and unloads them on me because God designed me to be the one to carry her emotions and her feelings. That's being the one for her. You speak her love language. You connect with her throughout the day. You give her servant leadership. You serve her. You protect your purity. And our time's gone in 2 minutes. Connect with her throughout the day. I'm telling you guys, a lot of guys are frustrated. A lot of couples we counsel, their love life stinks. Because they run. It's time for bed and she's not interested. Because the first time she's talked to you today was when you're getting ready to go to bed and you want to kiss and make out. What you do is you realize your wife's not a microwave. She's a crock pot. Microwaves are fast. Boom. That's how most men are. All right, I'm ready to kiss you. She's not that way. What you do before you go to work in the morning, you give her a good kiss and tell her how beautiful she is, and you just turn on your crock pot. You let that simmer all day. Send her a text on your lunch break. Tell her how beautiful she is. Tell her she's the one for you and you were thinking about her. See, you connect with her. Servant leadership. God didn't call us Christian men to be dictators. Come on, woman. I'm the man of this house. Get me something to drink. And what you're going to get is a frying pan right up the side of your head. Unless she's a godlier woman than you are a godlier man. And a godly woman will take that, put up with it. But God called you to be a godly man, to serve. Jesus calls it washing feet. What could you do to wash your spouse's feet? Now, this is a silly thing. Washing feet is doing the hard thing for somebody else. So, some men, we men get so dumb about things. Well, bless God, you can put the toilet seat down as easily as I can. Come on, do the hard thing. Put the toilet seat down. You do the hard thing. Pick up your laundry. You do the hard thing. Train the children. You do the hard thing. Get the kids in bed. You do the hard thing. Get them ready for church and get them out the door and get them in the car and get them to Sunday school on time. You serve your wife. Don't expect her to serve you. You are Christ. Christ, at the marriage supper of the Lamb, girds himself and serves us. I don't understand that. Except that he's modeling the kind of man I ought to be. A servant. You men protect your purity. Your wife deserves you to be that kind of man. You have eyes only for her. You don't let porn in your life. You cut it away. Get rid of it. Shut it down. You can do without a computer if you have to. Get yourself a flip phone if you need one. But you need purity in your life. Fight for it. Stand for it. Be the one for her. She deserves your purity. Don't you let some woman come between you and your wife. I've always said, and I wrote it in my notes like this. I've tried to think about the right way to say this, and then we'll go. Actually, I don't have it in notes. I think, do I have it on the screen? Do I have the quotes on the screen, Brother Lynn? Is there anything else there? Here it is. Your wife is the deciding factor as whether or not an other woman relationship is appropriate. If your wife's uneasy about a relationship, you better run. You say, yeah, but she's just being unfair. Can I say this gently? Yeah, maybe she is, but you're being an idiot. A man's an idiot who lets an innocent relationship trouble his wife. She's more important than the other relationship in the other relationship. Don't let her wander. She should never have to wander, because you ought to guard your purity. Make sure your computer history is clean. And if it's not, you ought to start tonight. Make major changes tonight. Clean it up, clean it out, shut her down. Delete Facebook, delete Instagram, delete whatever you got to delete. Get your computer and shut it down. Give it away. Shoot it in the name of Jesus if you have to. But when? Unplug your cable television if you need to. If you never turn on a TV ever again, you could survive. If you never had ever in your life heard the name Nancy Pelosi, you could still die happy. You don't have to know the news or the weather. You don't, if a television's a struggle for your purity, then get rid of it. Your wife deserves your purity. Be the one for her. Be the man for her. Be godly. Be pure. Pray with her. Lead her. Love her. Serve her. Help her with the children. Help her with the dishes. Be a godly man. Don't come home from work and vegetate in front of some television. It's not wrong to watch TV, but you're called to be a man. So serve. Serve. Love. Go all out. Because I'll tell you what will happen. God will bless your marriage. And bless your family. And having a blessed and happy marriage is a lot better than being addicted to porn. It's a whole lot better than having an unhappy wife. It's a wonderful thing. And God wants you to have that.